Hearts of Oak, launch. By Working Class Post. Hopefully you will have visited the website heartsofoak.org or watched the launch, see below, and you now have some idea of what they are about. For my part, having been at the launch, I'd like to share something of that experience and my impressions, which are entirely subjective and honestly held, and, much as I enjoyed the proceedings, it's probably true to say that I left the hall feeling both optimistic and pessimistic in fairly equal measure. The, really, good news is that our fight for freedom does not end with Brexit, and those issues which have been eclipsed over the last 3 years are now back at the top of our collective to-do list. But, as the afternoon progressed, it became clear how much is still to be done and many differing views there are on the way forward. Low-hanging fruit? I remember first hearing this expression about 20 years ago. We were sat in an IT project meeting with a handful of Oracle consultants, and it made me smile at the descriptive simplicity, but I soon saw that while this is a perfectly valid tactic, it is almost always an abysmal strategy, especially in a political setting. Although who see themselves as a non-political movement, they are clearly dealing with intensely political subjects and stand well to the right of center. Not a bad thing, most will say, but going forward this may become unsustainable. Picking off the juicy, right-wing supporters looks tempting and is absolutely the correct starting point. But without engaging those others who think differently, the future becomes an increasingly uphill struggle, and the sudden collapse into irrelevance of UKIP is a perfect example of how this often ends. Before elaborating on the negatives, let's meet the main players, because this was mostly a celebration in an excellent venue, small enough for everyone to feel fully immersed and to also engage with all the presenters after the final Q&A session. A quite rare experience for an event of this nature, and most and welcome for that. And yes, I finally got to meet Tommy Robinson, shake hands and even proffer a manly hug. Brilliant. Image. Tommy Robinson. The media besmirching of Tommy is unforgivable. He is as real as the ground we walk on and is open to the point of transparency. What you see is what's there. No illusion and nothing hidden. But what about Sagan? Well, he's slick and persuasive, a confident intellectual and none the worse for that, and I would say exactly what we need. If the measure of a man is how you would feel about sharing a trench with them, then Tommy is definitely your go-to guy. But if you were looking for someone in HQ to organize reinforcements and coordinate air support and artillery backup, Sagan would be my choice. Image. Carl Benjamin. Chalk and cheese, sure. Tommy is a firebrand, Sagan is the Iceman. Notable also was the inaugural WHO Free Speech Award, which was presented to Amy Della Mura, who you may recall was sent to prison for calling Sowerblaze a traitor. Image. Amy Della Mura. Lots of good stuff, so why the negativity? Well, apart from our two celebrities, very few people seemed to appreciate the necessity to address the left, or speak to Muslims. The feeling this far to the right, is that the left are evil and stupid and that Muslims are just evil, but neither case is universally true. Many of the people I met on free speech rallies and the Free Tommy events, were from the left. They are also the real deal. Having seen reason and moved in the right direction, they are nonetheless lefties. And they speak a different language. For them, capitalism is synonymous with corruption, and can we entirely disagree with that? And, almost every Muslim I've ever met, would probably leave that accursed ideology if they were given an acceptable alternative, but frying pans and fires come to mind when looking at their options. Most of us would make them welcome, but do we ever really demonstrate that fact? And how safe would they be? Our police and politicians cannot protect our own children, so what chance is there that ex-Muslims will be treated as anything more than an inconvenience by our Islamist pandering authorities? I believe that we must stop obsessing about Muslims and Islam. I understand why it is anathema to many of us, but Islamists and Islamism must enter our vocabulary. Consider this. The vast majority of creationists are Christians, certainly in the US, where they point to the Bible and say, "The you have it." But would most sensible Christians be happy if that defined Christianity? When our children come home and say, "There are no such things as dinosaurs, and the world is flat and anyone who believes otherwise is a bad Christian," would that be acceptable and would we be content to needs justify our version of Christianity whenever the subject arose? But that is precisely the position that many Muslims find themselves in. The problem with setting up a movement based around those already committed to the cause is the difficulty in changing direction without alienating those core supporters who feel that they have been sold out or betrayed. And even if they are kept on board, the internet now means that past positions are always just a click away from anyone wanting to cause mischief and distrust. Another problematic area is the rape gangs, otherwise called groomers, who are predominantly, but not exclusively, Muslim and Asian. We need to start calling this out as organized rape gangs, because that is what they are, organized criminals engaged in organized crime, and the cover-up may have nothing to do with their race or religion. As we learn more about our own perpetrators, people like Savile and Smith and co., the Epstein holiday resort with its prominent guest lists, and the directives here from high up to not investigate and to accept the lifestyle choice of trafficked children, we may reasonably conclude that any investigation into the systematic abuse of children, especially those in care, would probably lead to a very unpleasant place, and one which we, the people, must not know about. The problem, therefore, was not caused by political correctness as much as political cover-up, and that the Muslims' gangs were allowed to prosper and flourish was no more than collateral damage incurred while protecting our own rich and famous. John Wedger is well worth a look: John Wedger Foundation. Will Hearts of Oak make a difference? Yes, undoubtedly, but will it make enough of a difference is another matter, and this is one situation where diversity really would be our greatest strength. Anyway, the long and winding road home took in several pubs and conversations, the first with a young Irish builder, who had heard many tales of the old days in construction, when the craic was good and paddy ruled supreme, but no longer. Today there are few English and even fewer Irish on many building sites, but he did make one observation. It appeared to him that among his co-workers there was a significant Polish support for Brexit, with not so much from the Romanians and Albanians. Another pub and got chatting to an old soldier among a large group who were attending a London-Scottish reunion of some sort, quickly followed by an in-depth discussion of the merits of Marine Le Pen, with a young French family, and although they were dead against her, they wanted to talk and discover my views, which I got the feeling would not have happened had we met even a couple of years ago. And there we have it. Many thanks to SB for getting me in the door and, as always, I mentioned going postal in dispatches, whenever the opportunity presented itself. Copyright, Working Class Post 2020.